Want to once again thank Blair Rappaport and Brant Rosenberg for their sponsorships for this year, which hasn't met in close to a month, but it's good to be back. And now we've already fast tracked to Sefer Dvarim, which we are starting the Shabbos, the last Sefer in the Torah. And in Sefer Dvarim, there's actually not a lot of midrashim from Tanhuma. Sometimes like when I was in Israel, so we had to skip from Hukat to Pidchas because they had already read Balak by the time I got there. And Hukat and Balak had like 27 midrashim each or something like that. So I tried to learn on Shabbos. I tried to learn whichever ones we didn't do in this year. So that was quite an undertaking. The end of Bamidbar had a lot of midrashim. Sefer Dvarim, there's only a handful of midrashim for each parsha. So there's four for Dvarim. In Yirtzeh Hashem, we will do two of them. And they're both going to deal with the very first words of the parsha. We're not going to get much farther than that, which is okay. So the parsha, we should say the whole pasuk. So the parsha begins, Ela Dvarim Asher Dibar Moshe al Kol Yisrael. These are the words that Moshe addressed to all Israel on the other side of the Yarden, meaning they haven't crossed from their side to the other side, but from the Israel perspective, it's the other side. So the pasuk gives the context for where they were. Okay, so that's the first pasuk of the Sefer. So Medrash says, get the spotlight on. Medrash says, may the name and memory sounds like a little bit like Shem didn't pass away or something like that. So it's an interesting formulation, but Hashem's name, the King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed be He, His name should always be remembered on the forefront of our minds and exalted. Okay, so why are we praising Kodesh Baruch Hu? Shekol hanisim she'asa l'Yisrael b'midbar. All the miracles that Hashem did for the Jewish people, for Bnei Israel in the desert, in the wilderness, He will do this likewise in Tzion, meaning when we are redeemed, God willing, very soon. The same exact miracles, or same types of miracles that were performed in the desert, will be performed in the desert. That's the basis for this entire midrash. So why is that? But Bamidbar Ktiv Eila Hadrarim, in our pasuk it says Eila Hadrarim, these are the words. V'tzion Ktiv Asim Machshach V'tnehem La'or, I will turn darkness before them into light, U'makashim L'mishor, and I will turn rough places into level ground. Eila Hadrarim Asitim V'lazitim, and these things, Eila Hadrarim, I will do and will not forsake them. So in this pasuk in Yeshayahu that talks about redemption, you have the phrase Eila Hadrarim. Likewise, in our pasuk, we also have Eila Hadvarim, which gives us a sense of redemption. Now, this is quite curious because Rashi explains, and this is often quoted, that when Moshe begins Eila Hadvarim, that he's actually given Dibrei Tokacha, he's giving rebuke to Bnei Yisrael. Something I talked about last year, Parshat Dvarim, the concept of, so one of the places is identified as di zahav. So di is like enough or too much gold, very referring to the golden calf. So Moshe was rebuking them before they went into, in order to set them up to make sure that they understood the past tense and don't repeat the history. So Moshe is giving them words of rebuke. That's how Rashi explains the puzzle. But our midrash is actually saying that Eila Dvarim is not talking about rebuke, but it's giving words of consolation, words of hope. And in fact, my parish on the Medrash, I don't know how to call it, the parish, doesn't it? Medrash Shabtan Chum on the Boar. But they actually say that this is intentional. Medrash didn't do this intentionally because when is Parshat Dvarim always read? It's always the Shabbos for Tisha B'Av. So if your mind was already starting to think about associate redemption and miracles with some sort of consolation, that was the first thing I started thinking about when I saw this, before I even saw them explain it this way. I was like, oh, this is interesting to learn right before Tisha B'Av, that we're, you know, right now we're sort of in this period of, you know, the Haftarahs are admonition, and we're in the morning, and already the Medrash is priming us to think of consolation and future redemption. And again, the parish that I have in front of me says that this is actually intentional. So what are the different examples of miracles that took place? Barkti v'chol amru imet ha-kolot. Kolot is a key word there. So in the desert at Har Sinai, so the nation, the people saw the voices after after the, this is right after the Tzimt Dibur were proclaimed. V'tziyamtiv, and in the redemption of Zion, it says kol sason v'kol simcha. So that word kol, there's going to be some sort of a voice, a sound. There's a commonality between our experience in the desert and future redemption. Likewise, when we bar Eretz Rasha Avshamayim Matafu, the earth quaked and the heavens dripped precipitation. Here too, also you have the concept of causing the heavens and the earth to quake. So miracles there are meant to line up. When we bar Hashem Alech with Nehem Yomam, the desert Hashem walked in front of us during the day. So there's the idea of Hashem walking in front of us also that's associated with future events as well. Hashem will again rejoice over you. That word that Torah sas to express joy is common between the desert and future redemption. And then we have the pasuk to sisum midbar v'tzia, the desert and the arid land shall be glad. So midrash asks Mara Aishai Lamakach, why was Yeshayahu saying this? Alafisha sha'av v'yisrael the Torah, when the Jewish people were transgressing the Torah, Amar Hoshea ve'amar asitiach midbar v'shatiach eretzia. So Hoshea says that in time of exile, so the desert will be a wasteland and be arid and the like. So that was the threat of exile. Therefore, comes Yeshayahu and says, "Assuming Baritzia, and the future redemption will be the opposite of that. There will be gladness, there will be joy in the wilderness in the arid land." The Chol Nechamu Shemar Yeshayahu, and all the consolations that Yeshayahu gives, Yisusim Midbar Kiflaimim. There's actually a repetition. There's a they're double. Right, because as we say in the Haftarah for Nachum, the feast should like come Yad Hashem to find the Chokat Otaha. So there's the Haftarah suggests that Yerushalayim is received from the hand of the Lord double for all her sins. The Fichach Nichumah Yad Hashem to find. Therefore, the consolation also could be double. The sins were given twice, perhaps the principle, and then. But the consolation is also going to be double. We see this nachmu ani. So the whole pasuk is nachmu ani gomar kechon dabr leli yerushalayim. So it goes on to, that's all part of the same kipsukim, right? Kiflaim kol chatat taha is related to nachmu ani, comfort or console my people. And then you have anochi hu menachemchem. It says anochi twice that Hashem's going to comfort. Uri. Arise, or is also, and Hidori, same idea. Again, those words are repeated. So is Asis, I will be glad with rejoicing. Harach tifrach v'tagel, the blossom will blossom. So again, there's this double consolation that's going on in the future, a redemption. Notably, of course, most of these quotations that are brought here in the Midrash are actually part of the Haftarah of consolation that we're going to say over the course of a few weeks after Tisha B'Av. But what we have brought here is this idea again that Moshe begins Ela Hadarim, these are the words, and that's meant to bring us a sense of consolation that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to perform miracles in the future redemption like that were performed in the desert. Just go back for a second. So why, we have to sort of address a question here, even though it's a little bit tangential. Why is it, it's relevant for now, since we're talking about, why is it that Yerushalayim was going to receive double for this thing. There's a couple of different approaches that are brought. The Kli Yakar explains that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, so there were really two sins in one that came with Avodah Zarah. If the Jewish people were to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu and another God at the same time, what we call Shituf, that there's a sort of a, that they're being served at the same time, so that's not exactly proper. But Shituf would be one sin of Avodah Zarah. But the fact that not only did they were they worshiping another God, but they totally abandoned Ribono Shalom altogether, so that's adding insult to injury. That counts as two sins. Tav Sofer says that the fact that sinning Eretz Yisrael, so that it's one thing to sin in Chutz La'aretz, that's okay, that's one sin. But doing it in Eretz Yisrael, that's double the sin. You see this idea that the land can't tolerate, especially certain kinds of sins. Avodah Zarah, we see that in the Torah reading for Kippur. It comes up in the context of the Toch, on Shemitah. Did you say something?
I was going to say that maybe receiving double is an allusion to the first base of Mikdash and the second base of Mikdash.
Okay, very good. Yeah, that could be another one. And the Pardes Yosef suggests also that perhaps the double is because it's one thing to sin, but then if you find joy in your sin, then that's a sin unto itself. Or avira gorer avira, that there's some sort of sense of simcha that comes with sin. So those are a couple of explanations, but again, even though this medrash is kind of in the context of Parshat Dvarim, it's also Tishba Avdimd, and we're going to come back to this concept, of course, in the Haftarah during the next few weeks. Okay, so another explanation of the concept is Yisusim Bar Vitzia, that the wilderness and the arid land shall be glad. So when we're active, why is it written like this? L'omdecha shebish'ah shekabish baruch hu megale shkinato al Yisrael, because baruch hu reveals his presence over the Jewish people. He's not going to do it in one swoop. People are not going to be able to handle all of this at one time. It's going to be too overwhelming. It's going to be too much. I don't think they bring in Matan Torah here, but it seems to be a little bit what's going on with Matan Torah, that Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself. And everybody's, you know, everybody jumps back, like, you know, very far. And tell Moshe, like, please, like, you know, you talk to him and convey what happens, but the presence of Hashem in our Sinai, got us to be a little bit too much. It's too much to handle. But even sometimes good things, you can't need them in doses. So, everybody would die if everything was revealed at one time. So the Pasuk in Shev says, from time immemorial they have not heard, or has an ear perceived, or has an eye seen a God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. The key there is waiting for Hashem, that things come in steps. We learned this from Yosef. So after Yosef was estranged from his brothers for many years. So Marla Hamani Yosef, hi, I'm Yosef. Look at me. And the midrash says, "Meitu kulam," they died. They didn't necessarily literally die, but it was bombshell. Like, what are you going to do with something that shocking? Earlier, maybe there's like a little bit of a sense of death, like that moment when you kind of like freeze out of shock and you can't move a muscle because you're so overwhelmed with shock. So that's going on. They couldn't answer him. So that happened in the interaction between human beings. So more so, but Kadosh Baruch Hu just reveals himself and says, "I'm Kadosh Baruch Hu." You can't handle that all in one moment. So Elam not Kadosh Baruch Hu will say, what's he going to do? He reveals himself little by little. This is a concept that has really been sort of embraced by religious Zionism. First of all, it's a debate to begin with, you know, whether one should look at the founding of the state of Israel as the beginning of redemption. The way we say it in the prayer for the state of Israel is Reshit Tzbichat Gilteinu. It's the beginning of the flowering of our redemption, which, if you think about it, that's like not that's not like redemption here. That's like, you know, like a little bud is like starting to sprout in. So that's been a subject to debate. But there's definitely this notion that Geula comes in steps. So even if I think sometimes like we wonder, like, you know, like, did it happen? Did it not happen? Maybe there shouldn't be a state because the whole thing didn't happen, but it's not exactly how it's going to work, I think. There are really sort of fascinating, certain things that just kind of boggle my mind sometimes, the notion that Geula could be happening really slowly. You know, the founding of the state, and we've been talking between Mechamayim about Tzitzis and the concept of Tchelis that was lost for a long time, and conveniently, you know, the state of Israel is revived, and two decades later, we were able to find the Tchelis, which some say, you know, was going to be buried till the time of Mashiach, and the way peace relations are warming. There are things that can make one. We're at the Mechon HaMikdash. We're at the Temple Institute, where they're sort of remaking the different vessels for the Beis HaMikdash. So, yeah, there's like a certain sort of preparation process that seems to be there that obviously can't happen overnight. Especially during this time of Tish B'Av, as we said at the beginning, it gives a little bit of a message of hope. But so B'tchil Mesis at the Midbar first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give gladness to the wilderness, Shneva Yisusim Midbar Tzia, Baruch HaYichin Tagel Arav Tifrach Kachavat Tzavot. The Stipsa shall rejoice. And then after that, HaHalvano Nitanla will be the glory of Lebanon. Will be given to him. Ba'achrei chen, Hema Yurukfod Hashem Hadar Elkeinu. The glory of Hashem will be more apparent. L'pichach Amar David Kibana Hashem Tziyom. Here b'chvodo. When Hashem built Tziyom, so His glory recognizable. Ve'omer ki ein ba'ein yirub b'shuv Hashem Tziyon. For eye to eye, they will see the return of the Lord to Tziyon. And then it says, see, this is our God. We waited for Him. He delivered us. This is the Lord. We waited for Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. Okay, so again, so there's this there's message in this midrash that Eli Advarim, setting up the possibility of miracles that will happen in future redemption, and that the message is intentionally set to be around this moment. Okay. Another very fascinating midrash, also on the pasuk of Eilat Hadvarim. So, Eilat Hadvarim, Asher Yiber Moshe. These are words that Moshe spoke. Moshe spoke. So, Amar Yisrael. So, the Jewish people come and say, "Wait, hold on, Moshe." Hey, so, let's back up for a second. Sefer Dvarim. Okay, it's a whole sefer. When Rabbi Gold reads it on the night of Hoshana Rabbah, it takes about a couple hours to read. And again, that's probably a faster pace. That the way Moshe said it takes a couple hours, right? So David, okay, David Sack, I'm sure does it very fast. So Bereso come and say, hey, wait a second, Moshe, you're going to be speaking for a few hours here. At Molam Arta, yesterday you said, I'm not a man of speech. Meaning when Moshe was confronted by Hashem at the burning bush, and Hashem says, you're gonna go on this mission, and Moshe wants to reject it because he says, I have a speech impediment. I'm not someone who speaks. And all of a sudden comes Moshe and he says, Eilat Hadvarim, these are the things, and he's gonna go on and talk for a couple hours. So
he's sort of stuttering.
Okay, so that's what we're wondering here. So you're translate here, and now you're speaking so much. It's like they're kind of, yeah. And they're complaining that the rabbi's speech has gotten to be too long. So, I'm Rabbi. It's like Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Imata chayach." So, if you are if you have speech impediment, so shnei etatar veitatet. So, therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak says, if you have difficulty speaking, teach Torah and you will be healed. That's what it says here. So Moshe kvar lamad et kol haTorah. Moshe had already learned the whole Torah, but Barbara Mosuf had already learned the Torah in the desert. So Zesha Amar Katuv Azid Aleke Ayal Pisech Metaron Lashon Ilim. So The language translation might not be so PC nowadays, but it says, then the lame shall leap like a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall shout for joy. I mean, people who can speak will shout for joy. The Borek Shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe LeChava Shechal Parah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, go, and I'm going to send you to Parah. Amar LeMoshe. So, Baya Atama Avir Alai. What? You're causing injustice to me. Okay, I'm not. I think it says be out of me if I'm not mistaken. But Moshe kind of lets out this frustration. Like, listen, like what are you doing to me? I'm not a man of words. So Amarlo, Shivim Lashom Din B'Patrin Shapar. So Moshe goes on to say, listen, the people in Paro's palace, you know, they're very sophisticated diplomacy going on there. They can speak all 70 languages in our tradition. So there were 70 languages in the time of the Torah, and people of Paro's palace, again, they're well versed in diplomacy. They can speak any language. They can converse with anybody in their language. So Vani said, Moshe, I am holech b'shichutcha. I'm going to go on God's behalf, and God's supposed to be obviously, you know, the King of Kings. So God ostensibly is going to be represented well, but you're going to send me. They're going to check me out. They're going to say, "Shani shulcho shalmakom." I'm the emissary of God. They're going to see that I can't talk. What, is this a representative of this so-called God? I'm not sure I'm going to say it like that, but that's what Moshe's afraid of. So the emissary of the person who created the world and created all the languages. So his messenger could be somebody who can't speak. Preposterous. So have a baya lo yishtar nanam. Please, I'm not a man of it. Time, I have a speech impediment. The Amar lo kadosh baruch hu, the rei adam harishon shalolim do bria. The first human being. Hadn't learned at all. Didn't have anybody to learn from. The minan haya yudei shivim lashon. How do we know that he knew 70 languages? Shenamar v'ikra lehem shemot. So Adam Harishon called. He gave names to all the different animals. In fact, it says shemot, but it doesn't say shem l'kol echad. Doesn't say that he gave a name to every animal. He doesn't gave names, which makes it sound like that he for each animal he gave 70 different names, corresponding, you know. Like he was able to translate each name into each of the languages. So you're going to tell me, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if I can help Adam Arishon in that regard, you're going to tell me that that my excuse is that I can't speak, Gloria. You did.
Yes. Yes. You know, but the thing is, at the time of Adam, we hadn't had the Tower of Babel. So there weren't the 7 languages yet.
That's a good question. Good question. So I don't know. I don't know how this midrash would start off. I don't always take everything entirely literal midrash. Anyway, so I think it's trying to make a more homiletical point than trying to make a truth claim. But it's a good question how the midrash would deal with that. So fine. So Basop Abraham Shana, she had some time after 40 years from the Exodus, he became a Farshan Torah Shim Lachim. But then Moshe himself was able to explain the Torah in 70 languages, Chenemar, Be'eret HaTorah Hazot. So as I'll explain that when it says that he elucidated the Torah, that it was in 70 different languages. The Pesha Mar Lodish Baimanofi, the mouth that said, I'm not a man of words. In fact, Amar Elavarim, who's able to say everything that comes before Advarim and Biyam. And the Mitzvah, Amar Adi Lelech, Ayah Pisech, Le Taron, from the land, we've talked about it before. Lama Ki Miku, U, Ba Midbar, Mayim, Renach, Lim, Barava, Bach, Nemar Elavarim. Because water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams of the desert, therefore stated these are the words. Okay, so what can we, what can we take away from this? It's interesting to me that, trying to think about people who have disabilities and what it means to overcome this disability. So you know, look at somebody like Stephen Hawking, who could barely move a muscle, and yet was able to communicate so much because, you know, thanks to technology. But but in fact, there was somebody there who not just wasn't that he had a speech problem, just couldn't move the muscles whatsoever, and yet he was able to overcome that and really communicate a lot. And Moshe as well he had substantive information to convey, and Hashem gave him the ability to do it. I actually thought of when I was reading this midrash, I thought a little bit about Forrest Gump. If you've seen that movie, Lahavdil,
one of my favorites.
It's a great movie. So Forrest Gump is it starts as a kid who's bullied, and he I don't remember what the issue with the legs was, but his legs were in braces, so one day he's getting bullied. I mean, he's with his friend, and the bullies are starting to come after him. And then his friend tells him, "Run, Forrest, run!" And he just starts, you know, first he's kind of like wobbling, and then like the braces just kind of break off, and he just like becomes like this runner. And then I think like there's something there to be said that, you know, like he didn't have a choice. Sometimes we don't have a choice. You just, you know, you're able to muster up the strength, or you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu provides for you in that sense, and be able to break through that. And other examples, I saw a story of an individual, and his name is Kyle Maynard, I think. So he didn't, he's what's called a quadruple amputee. He doesn't have any of his limbs. And yet he was climbing, he's climbed some of the tallest mountains in the world without prosthetics. Again, look at something like that. And it's like, you know, like the very thing that's like, you would think is an impediment, he's somehow able to overcome that and achieve remarkable things. You know, also, I think to like sort of relate this to Torah, the Torah says, you know, Midrash says, you know, if you want to be healed in that sense, you know, if you want to be healed of a speech impediment, so teach Torah. It also reminds me of the stories of Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, who we often refer to as the Rav, as well as his younger brother, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, they both towards the end of their lives had tremendous difficulty getting by physically, and you know, it would take like from Rav to get to his apartment at YU Tashir, which is like, you know, you're able to walk, it's like a 2 minute walk, it could take him 20 minutes to walk there. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik also flew from Chicago to New York I think it was fairly severe Parkinson's, and yet with both of them, what was remarkable is that like when they were sitting and giving shiur, they were like on cloud nine, and it was as if they didn't have any pain. And that was just like the power that Torah had, and perhaps that was something for Moshe also, the power that Torah had for him, because you know, he was somebody who was so, you know, for somebody who spent 40 days and 40 nights with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, receiving the Torah personally from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that really has a transformative effect. So I can't come and say, you know, like as a science truth claim that you know, you do X, you're automatically going to be able to overcome X, Y, and Z conditions. But I think there are moments where sometimes we don't really know how we're going to do something. I think we have certain roadblocks, you know, whether it's a speech impediment, whether it's a, you know, physical handicap of some sort, and yet Kadosh Baruch Hu is able to help and to provide the tools, provide the solutions, and it's really remarkable what somebody's able to accomplish. And this is, you know, a great tribute to Moshe Rabbeinu, despite the fact that he really didn't believe in himself because of this impediment. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, being the creator of the world and being omnipotent, gave him the strength, and Moshe's conviction for Torah and his attachment to it, you know, was such that that he was just, you know, he was above all of those impediments when he taught Torah. And well, again, you know, this, you know, we can see this in different areas of life, but to see that when it comes to Torah, for me is especially inspiring. So that's Emedish for Advarma. Wishing everybody a good week, and see you on Shabbos Meir Tishah. Yes, sure.